Thank you very much, ladies. I'm having to come further and further back. It used to be four pews, now it's six. But that's all right. That's all right. Well, how much did you pay him?
I'm not going to tell him,
but it was worth it. But
it
was worth it, huh? Okay, if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask that you would please open up to Ephesians chapter 2. And tonight we're going to be going over this concept of old to new. As the Apostle Paul is writing to the church there at Ephesus, he's talking about the change that takes place in an individual's life, or at least ought to take place in an individual's life when they come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and how they go from becoming a person who is involved in sin and sinful practices and sinful behavior into a person that searches and hungers for a deeper and deeper level of righteousness and hungers for that deeper relationship with God. So we want to look at this. We're going to be looking at the first 10 verses of this second chapter of Ephesians. So let's read that particular passage, and then we want to look at six things tonight. We want to look at the past, the present evil, the performance, the placement, the proper perspective, and then the prize. So let's read this passage. Paul writes this. He says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our own flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Let's pray. Our gracious Father, even though our spirits were in deadness and in sin, you sparked life. Father, you demonstrated your love towards us by sending your only Son. You demonstrated your grace to us by speaking to our hearts and revealing to us our need for an intimate relationship with you. You demonstrated your passion for us by forgiving us and bringing us into your family. And Lord, you have shown us how much you prize us by walking with us and teaching us and guiding us and helping us as we walk through this present evil world. Now, Lord, I pray that tonight, as we look at your word, that we might become encouraged, and that in this coming week, Father, may we take a serious look for every opportunity that you place before us to be witnesses. That we would take every opportunity that you place before us whereby we might come in contact with someone who doesn't know you and be able to sow the seed of life in our testimony. And so, Father, give us guidance, direction, help. Open our spiritual eyes, open our spiritual hearts, that we might be receptive and responsive to you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Old to new. As Paul begins this particular passage, you notice it comes right on the tail of a prayer. That particular prayer is where he is praying for there to be a real revelation in the hearts of the Ephesians as to the depth of Christ and to the depth of his love. And then he reminds them of the amazing work that Christ has done in their lives. He reminds them of the fact that they had a past. And that's the very first thing we want to look at. In verses 1 and 2, Paul talks about the past. And I'm going to tell you, folks, we all have a past. There has been something in our lives, anyways, that has become offensive to God. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And so every one of us has a past. But the great and glorious news is that God buries our past. He not only forgives it, he not only washes it away and cleanses it, but the scriptures tell us that he buries it in the sea of his forgetfulness, never to remember it against us, never to remember those things against us again. You know, we all have a past. And look how Paul talks about this. He says in that first verse, he says, and you were, and notice the past tense of the verbs, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's a definitive statement that Paul makes. It's not a you may have been. It's not a some of you. It is a all and an inclusive statement. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. In other words, there was no living connection with God. You may have even had a form of religion. And you know, there's an awful lot of that in this world. But unless your religion is relationship with Jesus Christ, religion is worthless. All right? But relationship with Christ is what brings about the change and brings about the person fitting them for glory and fitting them for this relationship with God. And so Paul goes on here and he says, now you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked. Past tense, once again. You formerly walked. I'm going to tell you, folks, if you have run to Jesus and yet do the same old things that you've always done, your relationship with God is not right. There's something wrong. Paul says, look, Ephesians, you formerly walked in sinfulness according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, who is the prince of the power of the air? Satan. Satan. He is the one who works and is at work in the lives of those who are lost, of those who are not in a right relationship with God. And so Paul continues this and he says, look, that's where you were. And you formerly walked in that, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And now look at how it continues here. It continues, he says, among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Again, all of these things past tense. But I'm going to tell you, even though these things are the past, there is a present evil. Satan is still at work. And as much as he is at work in the hearts and the lives of those who don't know Christ, he is also at work trying his best to pull us away from our intimacy with God. He is doing everything that he can to ruin our spiritual witness, our spiritual testimony, in order that we can have no effect for the cause of Christ. That's the present evil. Satan himself, according to the scriptures, is a roaring lion who goes around seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy the children of God and create pain for God. There isn't anything, I don't think, that describes sin any more distinctly than the fact that it injures God, causes him pain. It's terrible to be one who disappoints God, who loves us and has sacrificed so much for us. And so Paul, in these first three verses, describes this idea of we've all got a past. And that then he moves on and he says, but there's still a present evil. And the fact that our performance is not what it should be if we're following the prince of the power of the air. Because our performance is going to be sinful behavior against God and against what he wants to accomplish in us. And then we come to that fourth verse that begins with those two words that bring hope. But God. But God. I am reminded of, you know, how at the time that Christ came on this earth, what condition this earth was in. And actually, if you go back even before that, and you look at clear back in the book of Genesis, when the heart of man was continually evil and only devising evil plans, but there was a guy named Noah, and it says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, but God, seeing Noah, and the fact that he loved him and he honored him, spared him, poured out his grace, protected his family. And you know, I've thought a lot about that in the world that we live in today. Of course, this world, this society does everything that it can to diminish men. You know, it really does. Anything that you see on TV or in movies, you know, a father is either a buffoon or he's evil. There are no good examples, it seems like, coming out of Hollywood. And instead, they're only good if they're gay. You know, then they're sensitive, you know, that kind of thing. And the move of our society, and now with our president getting on board on this whole gay marriage thing, that is a total offense to God. Folks, that is a total offense. Read Romans chapter 1. Read what Paul says to the Corinthians. And he says, look, don't you know that homosexuals shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, has God changed his mind? No. He hasn't changed his mind. We, as a society and as a world that is greatly influenced by the prince of the power of the air, is doing everything that we can to make sinful behavior acceptable. But it's not to God. We must remain strong to the principles of God. And sometimes that's not pleasant, but it's necessary. So we have to keep those kind of things in mind. And so when we look at these words, but God, we begin to see hope. Without God, no hope. With God, all hope. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ by grace. That word grace means the unmerited favor of God. You didn't earn it. You can't buy it. But God loves you, and he pours out on you his love and his grace. You can't do anything to win salvation on your own. You can't do anything to earn salvation. Salvation is a gift of God that comes because of the gift of faith that God has implanted in every individual. Romans chapter 8 tells us that God has given to every man a measure of faith whereby he might believe. And so that seed is there. The seed of faith is in every individual to have a hope and an opportunity. And God, who is rich in mercy, has done that because he does not want anyone to go to a Christless eternity. He does not want anyone to go to a lake of fire. But he has provided the way of escape through his Son, Jesus Christ. God is rich in mercy because he has loved us with a great love. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he reached and made us alive together with Christ. And look at that sixth verse. It says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the King James Version of the Scriptures, there is a phrase, I believe it's in Ephesians, and I can't remember exactly. But it says, for our conversation is in heavenly places. The word conversation there means citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven. And the Scriptures, several places, tell us that we're strangers here. Doesn't mean we're odd. Well, we are if you look at how the world looks at things. But I'll tell you, I'd rather be odd for God than accepted for Satan. I really would. The Scriptures tell us that, you know, this world is not our permanent address. We moved into town here in Corey it's almost 24 years ago. And when we moved in, we lived on White Street. And right up around the corner, there was a guy who lived here, who goes to church here, who lived right up around the corner for us. He still lives right up what would be around that corner. Dan Schreckengoss, Dan and Diane, you guys were living where you're living when we came to town that many years ago. That's your permanent address, right? No, it's not. Your permanent address is One Glory Avenue. All right? You see, we are foreigners in this world. That's why the world doesn't plug with us. That's why we just really don't connect with the principles that are going on. And that's why the world looks at us and they says, you know what, you are strange. You are odd. In fact, the scriptures tell us that we are a peculiar people. As the world looks at us, they view us as strange. When in reality, we're strangers. This world is not our home. And so we shouldn't be considering everything that we do for the comfort of this life. But we should be doing everything that we can to introduce people to our homeland. And that's with our Father. He has raised us up in heavenly places in Him. He has brought about the change. And so our permanent address is not here. It's not even the United States of America. Our permanent address is God's kingdom. That's where we are to live. And we have been placed in His presence because of that. The fifth thing is that there's a proper perspective. Look again at verses 7 through 9. Now, He has seated us in heavenly places within Christ Jesus in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. A proper perspective. We don't get to go to heaven because we're such amazing, wonderful folks. We are amazing, wonderful folks because of what Jesus Christ has done in us. Because of Him, not because of us. We are privileged to be called Christians because of Christ, not because of us. We are privileged to be called children of God because of Him, not because of us. We are privileged to be believers because of Him, not because of us. It's nothing that we have done that gives us life, but it's all because of what Christ has done, that we have the privilege of life. We should every day be thanking God for the amazing grace that He has bestowed upon us. Not that we earned it, not that we deserved it, but because of His mercy, because of His love, because of His sacrifice, that grace has been poured out on us. And because of that, here's the prize. For we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. He has taken us from the former lustful, selfish, sinful life that we lived, and He has made us brand new. We are His workmanship, created for good works in Christ. In other words, created to be able to influence others to come to faith and come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. As believers, Let's not live beneath our privilege. But instead, let's continually strive for the prize. Continually deepen in our faith and in our walk with Christ so that we can be positive, powerful influences in this world for Christ. It's an amazing passage of Scripture. And it's an encouraging passage of Scripture. We don't have to live in the slop of sin. We can live in the glory of the Christ who gave Himself for us. Let's stand. Folks, this week, God is going to place before you opportunities to be a witness for Him. Someone's going to cross your path who doesn't know Jesus, and you're going to have an opportunity to be a witness. Take advantage of it. Witnessing is simply telling someone what Jesus Christ has done for you. That's being a witness. Let your light shine for Christ so that others might see Him in you and glorify your Father. Not that they will see you, but they would see Him in you and bring glory to God. Take advantage of those opportunities and let the Lord reign supreme in your life. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, I want to thank You again for this amazing privilege we have. And Father, we're small in number here tonight, but we serve the mightiest God in the world. And we thank You that You care about our lives. You are concerned about those things which touch us, and You're concerned about the things that we touch. You care about the difficulties and the struggles we have, and yet, Father, You place before us great opportunities to be witnesses for You. Lord, help us to be witnesses that bring glory and honor to Your name. Help us to be witnesses this week that might make a difference in someone's life who is perhaps wandering, as Andy talked about. Perhaps someone who is just questioning maybe their faith, or just questioning whether You exist at all. Lord, help us to be able to be a connection with You so that someone this week might have their load of sin lifted and their lives made new. Don't let us dwell in the old, but instead help us to focus on the new and that which is yet before us. Now, Father, guide us and direct us. Let our celebrations tomorrow be honoring to You. And Father, bring great glory to Your name through our lives. And we'll give You thanks and praise, for it's in the awesome and the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen.